Keep the Customer Satisfied. Written by Wenners and Silks. Read by Catalina Hart. Summary. Meng Yao works the IT desk at a big box electronics store. Lan Xishan's laptop seems to suffer an extraordinary number of mishaps. Or 5 times Meng Yao provided excellent customer service, and 1 time he provided really, really excellent customer service. 1. It's a typical Wednesday afternoon, the day the most beautiful man in the world walks into the Easy Peasy, which is to say, Meng Yao is dealing with an idiot. Couldn't have been a virus, the idiot is arguing. I only use this computer for work. It's July. On the other side of the automatic doors, heat shimmers above oceans of tarmac, but inside, the air conditioning is going at full blast. Meng Yao is grateful. His customer service face has an unfortunate tendency to melt under extreme atmospheric conditions. He adjusts his smile 2 degrees more apologetic and 0.5 degrees more deferential. They can look like legitimate emails. All you'd have to do is click the wrong link. I haven't clicked any links. Meng Yao ducks his head, still smiling. Beneath the lip of the service desk, a message notification from Zhe Yang flashes onto the lock screen of his phone. Hello, Mayo, I remember this ticket. Has he figured out the horny singles in his area weren't really looking to meet, or are you breaking the news to him now? Unobtrusively, he nudges a phone under the cover. Unobtrusively, he nudges the phone further under cover. There is another customer loitering nearby. A tall man, neatly dressed, staring at a display of USB flash drives with a kind of fixity people wear when they're waiting to be served but don't want to look too impatient about it. Meng Yao can only hope this patience lasts. He's been trying to get this asshole to take his laptop and go for 11 minutes and counting. Also, tell him to clear his search history once in a while. Guy's into some nasty shit. And that's coming from me, lol. Does anyone else have access to the computer? Meng Yao asks. Look, I took screenshots. Photo? No, just me. The asshole's eyes narrow. Are you implying something? Meng Yao spreads conciliatory hands. I'm just trying to offer an explanation. Photo. 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 Meng Yao turns his phone face down. Hey, the asshole snaps his fingers. Are you listening? His neck is very red, bumpy with razor burn. Meng Yao blinks and smiles and imagines jamming a Phillips head screwdriver into the asshole's carotid. The navy blue of his company-issued polo would disguise the splatter of ethereal spray quite nicely. I'm sorry, sir, I'm trying to help, but I'm a little confused about what the problem is. I've already told you that the full cost of the debugging falls under the terms of your warranty. The problem is that you're accusing me of... Sir, no one's making any... I was speaking. There's a quiet cough. The asshole turns around and Meng Yao looks up and up into the face of the most beautiful man he's ever seen in his life. Thick hair, straight brows, a kind of jawline ships are wrecked upon. Meng Yao can feel himself staring. His face has, for the first time since his teens, decided to turn traitor. It refuses all efforts to be brought back under conscious control. The vision glances from the asshole to Meng Yao and back again. Meng Yao notes with fascination the way the asshole seems to wither beneath the light of that vague, amiable smile. Whatever, the asshole says, recalling Meng Yao's wandering attention as he finally snatches his laptop off the counter. But you should really watch your attitude. You miserable waste of human skin, Meng Yao thinks. I would flay you from your feet up and force-feed you your own toes if it didn't mean I'd have to look at you for even a second longer than necessary. Out loud, he says. I'm sorry you were dissatisfied with your service today. Would you like to fill out a customer feedback card? The asshole squints at him. Maybe not quite as much of an idiot as he looks. Not that that's saying much. Don't you have, like, a website? Meng Yao widens his eyes apologetically. I'm afraid our online feedback system is undergoing technical difficulties. Grumbling, the asshole snatches the card. "My name is Meng Yao. That's Meng with an E," Meng Yao adds helpfully. "M-E-N-G-Y-A-O. Just drop it into the feedback box at the end of the desk when you're finished." He's not looking at the other man, the impossibly beautiful one, but he can feel his gaze, feel his own traitorous skin pinking under the force of it. It seems to radiate heat like the man has carried in a piece of the summer sun along with him. As subtly as he can, he turns his phone over. 17 unread messages. Quickly, he swipes out a response. Succinct, but it should get the point across. "Fuck off." Wow, hurtful. "I was gonna make you godfather to my snake and everything. But IDK if I want Jiang Zai to have that kind of energy in her life." Meng Yao puts the phone face down again, just as the asshole throws down the pen and stuffs the card into the box. "Thank you for choosing the top personal technology specialist in the mid-upper West Atlantic region. Have a lovely day," Meng Yao calls after his retreating back. The man doesn't respond. Probably for the best, really. Meng Yao takes a fortifying breath and turns to the man waiting. He is, if anything, even more attractive than Meng Yao initially realized. Forget one measly ship. That jawline could wreck fleets, entire armadas, or just, possibly, one mid-level in-store customer-facing IT specialist. Even worse, the way he's looking at Meng Yao. Meng Yao curls his fingers into palms which have begun ever so slightly to sweat. He's used to deflecting pity, or agonizingly awkward attempts at solidarity, or, very occasionally, genuine sympathy in the aftermath of aggressive customers, but this man just looks concerned, like he's genuinely interested in Meng Yao's well-being. Before he can do anything really awful, like ask if Meng Yao is okay, Meng Yao shoves his face back into the familiar rictus of his customer service grin. "Hi, welcome to the Nerdforce at ECPC, where choosing a new computer is as simple as 1, 2, 3. I'm Meng Yao and I'll be your nerd this afternoon. How can I help you?" The man looks slightly taken aback. Meng Yao sees his lips, a perfect, improbable cupid's bow, mouths something that looks suspiciously like, "I'll be your nerd." Then he gives himself a little shake and hefts a pale leather laptop case. "I think my screen's broken." Even his voice is attractive, a mellow mid-range baritone. "This is fine. This is fine. Meng Yao has dealt with beautiful men before. If it comes down to it, Meng Yao is himself a beautiful man." The hands brush as the man hands his laptop over. Meng Yao feels the shock of that touch all the way down to his toes. "He's a professional. He's fine." "It was my brother's boyfriend," the beautiful man says, looking mildly embarrassed. It takes a concerted effort not to begin mentally cataloging other situations in which he could be compelled to look even more embarrassed, or how such a look might be enhanced by flushed cheeks, the thin sheen of sweat, and Meng Yao's hands on his focus. "I think he may have had a little too much to drink, and he thought it was a touchscreen. It's not a touchscreen." They both stared down at the flickering mess of colored lines and jagged black fractals. "Yes," Meng Yao says. "I can see that." "I suppose they train you to recognize that sort of thing." Meng Yao looks up sharply in time to catch the gleam of humor in the man's eyes. "You develop a certain sense," he allows, "professionally speaking." "Of course." Meng Yao reminds himself that he is at work. It would be unprofessional to pick an example at random, to push this man up against the display of iPad Airs and kiss him until he's drawn all the laughter down from those smiling eyes, out through improbably pouty lips into Meng Yao's own hungry, waiting mouth. The thing is, he doesn't with customers as a rule. Not that the ECPC is a popular spot for cruising to begin with, but even when he's come across the occasional prospect, simply being a customer is such a deeply unattractive quality that Meng Yao's never bothered to pursue anything further. In this particular case, though, he might be willing to make an exception. The beautiful man seems unsurprised when Meng Yao tells him the screen will have to be replaced. "Yes, that's what Wei Wuxian said. That's Wang Ji's, my brother's boyfriend. He wanted to do it himself as an apology, but I thought, on balance, he lets the sentence trail into delicate oblivion. That's the second time he's mentioned his brother's boyfriend, which suggests at least that he's probably not a raging homophobe. A promising sign, though not quite as promising as the way his gaze has scarcely strayed from Meng Yao since they began talking. You're in good hands, Meng Yao assures him and is delighted when the man's eyes flick downwards as if on cue. He has, Meng Yao can't help but notice, lovely hands himself, long-fingered and finely boned. Yes, it can't really hurt, can it? In just this one case, it's more of a guideline than a hard and fast rule anyway. If this man asks for his number, Meng Yao will give it. He checks in the laptop and takes the man's details. The man smiles at Meng Yao as he gives his name, Lan Zixian. Like it's a proper social introduction and not routine data collection, and Meng Yao kind of wants to eat him. Instead, he prints out the receipt and even refrains from adding a little personalized message on the back like, "You, me, men's restroom, 15 minutes. You've been very helpful today," the man, Lan Zixian, says, accepting the receipt, voice warm. Meng Yao ducks his head, looking up in a way he knows makes his eyes look particularly large and beguiling. "I was wondering," Meng Yao holds his breath, "if I could trouble you for one of those customer feedback cards?" "Oh," Meng Yao blinks, caught off guard. He looks into Lan Zixian's lovely, earnest face, from his guileless eyes to the faintest suggestion of a flush patterning his cheekbone, and makes a decision. "Here," he says, handing over a much smaller card than he had given to the asshole earlier. "Just go to our website listed here, or scan the QR code on the back." Lan Zixian's brows draw together just a fraction. "I thought you said the website was down." "It seems they've just managed to solve all the technical difficulties," Meng Yao says blandly, not even bothering to glance at his computer screen. "Our programming team really is a wonder." Lan Zixian stares for a fraction of a second longer before a slow delight begins to creep into his eyes. "That makes sense," he agrees. "Since you are an IT company, well, thank you again." A glance at Meng Yao's name badge. "Meng Yao?" Meng Yao dimples. "Our pleasure." Something seems to hang for a moment, suspended in the air between them. Then Lan Zixian glances away. "Take care," he says. Nothing has shifted on his face, yet his smile seems a little distant now, cloud-veiled. Meng Yao feels the distance himself, cool and damp in his chest. "Have a lovely day," he says to the most beautiful man in the world. The most beautiful man in the world leaves, which is fine. Probably for the best, really, Meng Yao thinks later, emptying the customer feedback box into a trash can and replacing it in his locker. The rules are there for a reason. Sure, Lan Zixian seemed... At home, in his kitchen, Meng Yao closes his mind against an extremely unhelpful torrent of adjectives. Well, however he seemed, there's always a possibility that things could go bad, and then he'd know where Meng Yao worked and might show up to cause trouble. Maybe even enough trouble to cost Meng Yao his frontrunner status for Employee of the Month, and that, dicing peppers with a taut kind of ferocity, would come with consequences that don't bear thinking of. And anyway, feet jarring against the pavement during the following morning's jog, it's not like he has time for anything non-essential, really. The consequence of trying to finish a business degree while working full-time, and men, however tall they are, however elegant their long-fingered hands and smiling their phoenix eyes, definitely fall under the category of non-essential. So, he puts it aside, he lets it go. He's doing the inventory a little over a week later when he notices Lan Zixian's ticket has been closed and his laptop checked back out. So that's the end of it. The thought comes with a certain pang, but he's long since hardened himself against disappointment, and anyway, it's the last Friday of the month, which means he has bigger things on his mind. "Meng Yao, hey, how's it going?" his manager asks. "Ready for tonight?" Meng Yao offers him a taut smile. "I hope so," Cool. You've got the, it's at home, Mangyao says. I'll pick it up on the way to the bar. Great, awesome. Well, see you then. He makes a move as if to clap Mangyao on the shoulder, seems to think better of it, smiles awkwardly, and beats a hasty retreat. Mangyao does so enjoy it when management is afraid of him. Left it at home? Zhe Yang says, punctuating the question with a deafening pop of his chewing gum. What, scared someone's gonna steal it? Since the obvious answers are yes and you probably, Mangyao doesn't deign to reply. The last Friday of the month is company drinks night and, not that he'd admit it to anyone but himself, Mangyao's favorite night of the month. This has nothing to do with the enforced socialization. His colleagues are barely competent at best, Zhe Yang, and unspeakable irritants at worst, also Zhe Yang, and everything to do with the fact that it's when the regional employee of the month is announced. It's always Mangyao. Or at least it has been for the last 11 months straight, and he has every intention of maintaining his streak. Benefits of the position include a month's worth of bragging rights. Not that Mangyao would do anything so crass as brag, but he knows, and everyone else knows, and that's more than enough. A brief speech about his various virtues and accomplishments, reproduced in the monthly newsletter, a $15 bar tab, and custodial possession of the hat. The hat is large, despite the fact that it was clearly designed to accommodate much girthier heads than Mangyao's, having a tendency to settle about an inch above his eyebrows. It adds a good 9 inches to his height. It's made of gold lamé backed in foam with an enormous number 1 embossed on the front. It looks, if Mangyao is being honest, like something you'd find in a Party City bargain bin. Cheap, tacky, objectively hideous. Mangyao adores it. Whenever he finally leaves this job, that hat is coming with him. As if anyone else would want it, Mangyao hears one of the junior specialists from the Stonecastle branch mutter later that night on the tail of his 12th successive win. Such obvious jealousy is really beneath his notice, but he makes a mental note anyway, just in case he ever needs a scapegoat or practice destroying someone professionally. Still, he's in a good mood. The trauma of being forced to temporarily surrender his hat into his manager's dubious custody and then wade through 30 agonizing minutes of upcoming birthday announcement and other HR bullshit before it's returned to him has been somewhat mitigated by a particularly complimentary speech filled with glowing customer feedback. He can't help but wonder which, if any, might have been left by the beautiful man, Lan Xishan. Not that it matters. Computer repair isn't the sort of business that attracts a lot of repeat customers, at least not within a short period of time. They won't meet again. It's just an I thought that even after they parted, the most beautiful man in the world, with a warm voice and kind eyes, set aside time to think well of him. 2 days later, Lan Xishan is back at the service desk. 2. Mangyao prides himself on always being aware of his surroundings. You can't control a situation if you can't see all the variables. Sadly, even to a mind like his, certain situations remain impossible to fully predict. Situations such as a customer knocking over his customer feedback box, which in turn knocks over his caddy of pants, which in turn means that the second time Lan Xishan walks into Mangyao's store, Mangyao's on the ground fishing for an errant ballpoint and doesn't notice him. He's always been quick on his feet, so to speak, so he doesn't yelp or fall over or bump his head or any of the terribly undignified things a lesser man might have done upon emerging from underneath the desk to see the most beautiful man in the world peering down at him. Still, something of a startlement must have shown on his face because Lan Xishan says, seemingly in genuine contrition, "Oh, I'm sorry." Mangyao shakes his head, which has a side benefit of loosening his frozen features enough for him to slide his smile back into place. "No, that's my fault, I didn't realize." "I should have said something," Lan Xishan counters. "I'm told I can be very light on my feet." His hand comes up to touch the back of his neck as if he's somehow embarrassed by this disclosure. It is horrendously, ruthlessly charming. It's good to see you again, that is. I remember you, Meng Yao says. Lan Xishan, wasn't it? With a laptop that wasn't a touchscreen. Lan Xishan's smile is surprised and pleased and unfairly breathtaking. Yes, and you're Meng Yao. Meng Yao has definitely been in this business for too long if his heart is racing like this over someone remembering his name while he's wearing a name tag, no less. That's right. Is there, he realizes his hand, entirely without his conscious instruction, has raised halfway to tucking his hair behind his ear and sternly lowers it. What can I help you with today? Lan Xishan's face goes a little bashful. It's a little silly, but I was wondering whether you knew where I could find some screws? For a laptop, I mean. I think one of our PC repair kits might include them. Was there a problem with your laptop? No, it's working beautifully. I just happened to notice that one of the screws on the back was missing, and I thought, since I was in the area... So that's it. Lan Xishan is too polite to come out and accuse them of having lost one of the pieces of his laptop. But Meng Yao knows what's expected of him. May I see it? There is indeed a screw missing on the underside of the laptop. Meng Yao can't imagine why the technicians would have needed to remove the back cover to do a screen replacement, but it's possible there were other issues. The metal around the cavity is scratched up too, as if the screw was removed by an inexpert hand, but Meng Yao wouldn't put that kind of amateurish job past certain of his colleagues. It's not entirely beyond possibility that Lan Xishan might have done it himself and then come in hopes of scamming a single screw. Meng Yao has seen stranger things, but all things considered... I'm so sorry, he says with his best, most apologetic smile. One of our technicians must have put it back incorrectly. If you'll give me just a moment, I can have it fixed for you. Oh no, there's no need for that, Lan Xishan says hastily. I can get... You said one of your repair kits? Please don't trouble yourself. Meng Yao looks at him a little quizzically. He's not used to having to argue people into complimentary services. It's no trouble, he says, and finds to his surprise that he means it. Please wait here. He ducks into the back room, where the unpleasant discovery awaits him that someone has taken it upon themselves to reorganize the entire repair section. Again. But rather than the usual simmering rage, he feels only a mild irritation as he hunts around for an appropriately sized screw. The fuck? Xie Yang comments. Meng Yao ignores him. Another 30 seconds rummaging uncovers both screw and screwdriver. Since when do you do repairs? Xie Yang yells at his back. Meng Yao doesn't bother to respond to that either. It's the work of a minute to replace a missing piece. Thank you so much, Lan Xishan says earnestly, packing his laptop away. I really appreciate it. Not at all. How much do I owe you? Meng Yao blinks. There's no charge. Oh, I couldn't possibly. Of course I'll pay. It was our mistake, Meng Yao protests, but there is an obstinacy to the reset of Lan Xishan's jaw. I wouldn't even know how to put it in the system. Please, Lan Xishan repeats. His ears are pink, but his voice is unwavering. I wouldn't be comfortable. Meng Yao stares at him incredulous. Fine, fine, who is he to talk someone out of paying? Let me see then, you could buy a 500-piece case of these screws off Amazon for $5, so doing the math... What about labor costs? There's your time and expertise. The pink has spilled over from Lan Xishan's ears and is slowly spreading over his cheeks, but his eyes are bright, challenging. My expertise, Meng Yao echoes and reminds himself of all the reasons why grabbing Lan Xishan by the tie and physically hauling him off into the relative privacy of the staff room is not a feasible option. Of course, well, factoring in labor costs and... Should we include overheads? Rent, electricity, I'd have to estimate those. Whatever you think is fair. Right, well, with a modest profit margin, your total should come out to... Meng Yao does some quick mental calculations. 36 cents. Do you take American Express? They stare at each other for a moment. Lan Xishan begins to smile, a modest, closed-lipped thing which still somehow contains the force of an open grin. Meng Yao allows himself to mirror the expression back. I'm afraid we have a minimum for credit card, but if you were to take, for example, the PC repair kit as well... That wins him in an actual laugh, soft and surprised and punched out breathy. You're quite the salesman, Lan Xishan says. Let's take the repair kit then. There were reasons, weren't there, that Meng Yao decided it was better not to pursue a more personal connection, but surely there's no harm in a little flirting. Which is why he takes a moment before handing over the receipt to scribble a brief message on the back. There you are, he says in his brightest customer service tones. And as a thanks for choosing Nerdforce, allow us to offer you a 15% discount on your next service with us. Lan Xishan blinks down at the place where Meng Yao has written 15% off in hasty Sharpie, clearly trying to gauge the legitimacy of this offer. That's very kind. We like to take care of our returning customers, Meng Yao informs him, letting his voice drop just a little and peering up through the fringe of his lashes. Lan Xishan's lips part, his dark eyes seem, impossibly, to grow even darker. Meng Yao rocks forward ever so slightly on the balls of his feet. Well, Lan Xishan says. He clears his throat and then, just like the first time, retreats into courteous distance. Thank you again. And just as before, he's bidding a meticulously polite farewell, and then he's gone. Meng Yao watches him leave, limbs prickling with an already familiar frustration. What in the shit? Comes an extremely unwelcome voice from behind him. What's that? Meng Yao whirls around. What are you doing out here? Zhe Yang saunters forward, grinning that very particular grin of his, the one which always seems to contain too many teeth for a single human head. Came out to find out why you suddenly decided you were doing my job. Guess I got my answer, huh? Maybe if you ever bothered to do it yourself. Nah, don't change the subject. I want to know what the fuck that was all about. His voice takes on a breathy and extremely unflattering pitch. Oh, customer girl, your wallet is so big and strong. Did you know you're giving out free suck jobs with every... Keep your voice down, Meng Yao snaps, glancing at the middle-aged woman browsing the Blu-ray section three aisles over. I didn't realize you even got horny, Zhe Yang continues at exactly the same volume. I thought you were, like, manufactured in a lab somewhere as a perfect corporate drone. The woman glances their way. Meng Yao gives her a dazzling smile. Around it, he says, don't you have work you should be doing? See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like unholy experiments. Some of my best friends are unholy experiments. Did you give him your number? This, Meng Yao says with brittle dignity, is a professional workplace. Zhe Yang shakes his head, sorrowful. He didn't even ask. That's rough, buddy. It's a gift, really, the way he always manages to find his way to the very end of Meng Yao's patience. Zhe Yang, Meng Yao says with treacherous calm, either you remove yourself from my presence, or I remove one of your kidneys and feed it to you. Your choice. Zhe Yang just leers. Love it when you get kinky with me. Try that next time with your customer, Gurgle. Maybe you'll get past... What base is hard eye contact again? The approach of a harried-looking kid in a college sweatshirt saves him from immediate retaliation. Meng Yao soothes himself with the promise of eventual vengeance and turns to face his newest customer. Hi, welcome to Nerdforce at ECPC. My name is Meng Yao. I'll be your nerd this afternoon. 3. Whatever Meng Yao might hope or imagine in the privacy of his own mind, or shower, or bedroom, he isn't really expecting Lan Xishan to return, and certainly not anytime soon. In actual fact, it's barely over a week. Oh dear, Meng Yao greets him to cover the disconcertingly off-kilter thumping of his heart. Brother's boyfriend at it again? He wonders if it's possible for a person to get used to Lansetian's smile, if it's the sort of thing you can build an immunity to through repeated exposure, or whether it just hits you like this every time. No, the laptop's fine. I'm here on behalf of a friend of mine, actually. He broke his phone, and I thought, since I have that returning customer discount... You do phones, don't you?
We do phones, Meng Yao confirms. What they don't actually do is a 15% returning customer discount.
He searches Lansetian's face for a sign that he's aware of this, but that smile is surprisingly opaque. Oh well, he's a problem solver. He'll work something out. The phone, when produced, proves to have a screen spiderwebbed almost beyond recognition, but appears otherwise functional.
My friend runs a boxing gym, Lansetian explains.
Well, if it's just a screen, we can probably replace that for you now, if you don't mind waiting. Shouldn't be more than half an hour or so. Indecision flashes onto Lansetian's face, only to be smoothed away with another smile.
That would be wonderful, thank you.
Let me just check there's a technician free. Lansetian is on the phone when he returns.
Hold the fort until I get there. Shouldn't be too long. Yes.
No, yes.
See you soon.
Sorry, he adds to Meng Yao, returning the phone to his pocket. Just letting them know I might be a little late. Meng Yao tilts his head. We're open until 8 if you want to come back later.
Now is fine, Lansetian says, very firmly.
Meng Yao side-eyes Lansetian's expensive suit, meticulously groomed hair, and gleaming leather-looking briefcase, but says nothing.
You don't do the repair work yourself?
Lansetian asks with the air of one determined to make small talk.
I'm trained to do it, but I usually work up the front. It's what I'm best at. Do you like it?
Then, as Meng Yao hesitates,
I'm sorry, that's a terrible question to ask while you're on the clock.
It has its ups and downs, Meng Yao says diplomatically.
I'm sure.
They lapse into silence.
After a moment, as it becomes clear that Lansetian has no intention of going to browse other parts of the store customers usually do while waiting for their repairs, Meng Yao asks,
Did you watch the game last night?
Lansetian stiffens slightly.
I'm afraid not.
Meng Yao nods.
Me neither, he confides, and is rewarded with another startled, breathy catch of laughter. Conversation is easy after that. Meng Yao learns that Lansetian is a lawyer.
Real estate law, I'm afraid, which is objectively the least interesting kind. Not many high-stakes courtroom dramas made about zoning litigation.
A fact which only deepens his suspicions about what kind of appointment Lansetian is blowing off. But he seems perfectly content to stand and talk to Meng Yao about Meng Yao's MBA program, falling to the side when other customers appear only to restart the conversation as soon as they leave. His confidence only begins to waver at the very end, when Meng Yao is ringing him up for the newly repaired phone.
I was only joking about the discount, you know, I'm not actually expecting.
It's already done.
Oh. Lansetian blinks, looking uncertain as he takes out his wallet.
So there is a returning customer discount then? I thought, that is.
Meng Yao ducks his head and leans in a little conspiratorially.
To his delight, Lansetian mirrors him. Meng Yao allows one corner of his mouth to curl in a way he knows makes his dimple pop.
I gave you the friends and family discount.
Lansetian's fingers fumble in the act of withdrawing his credit card, sending it skittering across the desk. When Meng Yao returns it to him, his ears are glowing cherry red.
Which really makes it all the more maddening when he leaves for a third time without even so much as hinting that he might like to see Meng Yao in a non-professional capacity. Which means that either Meng Yao is reading him wrong and he really isn't interested, which seems at this stage highly unlikely, or there's something else preventing him from making the move they both so desperately want him to make. Maybe he's closeted after all, or maybe he's already in a relationship, or
maybe it's both. Xie Yang suggests helpfully.
He seems like a boss kind of guy to me.
Shut up, Meng Yao says. Why did you think talking about this to Xie Yang of all people would be a good idea anyway?
Because you're a workaholic loser with no friends and less game?
Xie Yang suggests.
Because he's the world's most irritating co-worker, he's fidgeting with something, some kind of toy, small and rubbery and spherical, throwing it against his computer monitor where it lands with a horrible adhesive splat, then peeling it off and throwing it again. Mongya despises him utterly. Do you, or are you secretly taken with my roguish charms? Peel, splat. Would you stop? What is that thing? Eyeball. In an illustration, he holds it up in front of one squinted shut eye, sticking out his tongue. It does indeed appear to be an eyeball, surface graying and slightly tacky from too much handling. Where did you get it? It looks like the sort of thing you'd find in one of the gashapon machines outside the store, except that Meng Yao's never noticed a toy like that in either of the machines. Private supply. Xie Yang tosses the eyeball up and catches it, grinning horribly. I tell you more but than I'd have to. I cannot overemphasize, Meng Yao interrupts, how completely uninterested I am in continuing this conversation. You asked, Xie Yang mutters at his retreating back. 3.5 Interlude. It's a few days later when Meng Yao is called into his manager's office. The manager of the Captown Nerd Force is a man called Trevor, a few years older than Meng Yao himself, with a bushy beard, a tendency to play Fortnite on shift, and a leadership style that manages to be both hearty and almost entirely bloodless. I noticed you used your friends and family discount, Trevor says in a vaguely congratulatory tone. Meng Yao, who has been enduring his attempts at small talk for several minutes at this point, is instantly on high alert. Is that a problem? If that rat Zhe Yang sold him out... No, not a problem at all. Just didn't realize you had any... Anyway, look, it's a little awkward, but I was wondering how you'd feel about someone else winning Employee of the Month this time around. Well, it isn't as if he hasn't been expecting something like this. Luckily, Trevor's never been a particularly difficult boss to manage. Meng Yao ducks his head, widening his eyes and looking up from beneath worried brows. Patrice has been working very hard and really got her numbers up. And Adia over at Stone Castle Branch has nothing but good things to say about her newest recruit, so... Trevor's already beginning to wilt. Meng Yao gambles on an anxious nibble to his lower lip and is rewarded with an actual flinch. I just thought it might be good for morale if, you know... Trevor shifts in his chair. Because Meng Yao is not a good man, he lets Trevor writhe in his own awkwardness for almost a full 15 seconds before saying, in tones of confusion touched with hurt, I've always tried to excel at my job. I know you have. To work according to my fullest potential. Look, no one's saying, but if my performance has been less than satisfactory... No, Trevor says, utterly defeated. No, of course not. Great job as always. Meng Yao dimples with relief. Thank you. Was there anything else, or... No, you're good. Keep up the good work. And then just before Meng Yao pulls the door shut behind him, a soft but heartfelt shit. Maybe Meng Yao should learn to whistle. He certainly feels in a whistling kind of mood. Over Meng Yao's dead body will near Hoisang from the Stone Castle Branch wear his hat. 4. Meng Yao's reaction when Lan Xishan staggers into the store the following Saturday is split between incredulity, shading into deep suspicion, and a profound, soul-deep distraction that renders difficult any higher thought. The reason for this distraction is threefold. 1. The sky outside is split into a battering late summer storm. 2. Lan Xishan is wearing a white button-down and, apparently, no undershirt. And 3. Lan Xishan did not bring an umbrella. You know what? I can wait to take my break, Patrice says, staring openly. In fact, I don't think I need a break today. I'm good here. Meng Yao bares his teeth in something that might only with extreme generosity be called a smile. Enjoy your lunch, Patrice. Sorry about... all of this, Lan Xishan says, coming forward and grimacing as he shoves dripping locks of hair back out of his eyes. Kind of got caught in it. Mengya wonders how a man can manage to look simultaneously like a wet dream and a drowned dog. I can see that, he agrees, voice only a little strangled. He offers Lansetian a packet of tissues. Thank you, Lansetian says fervently. The motion of reaching for the tissues causes a shirt to peel away from and then readhere to his chest. Nipple, Meng Yao thinks. He probably thinks some other things too, but most of his higher brain functions seem to have been temporarily drowned out in a kind of horny static. With effort, he manages. What seems to be the trouble today? Water damage, Lansetian says, and then at the look on Meng Yao's face. Prior water damage, I mean. I spilled tea, but the bag should be waterproof, I hope. It would be just about the only thing, Meng Yao thinks, allowing his gaze to wander down Lansetian's sodden form. He could just about glimpse a dark stripe of shadow leading down from midriff to belt. Lansetian is struggling with his laptop back and doesn't seem to have noticed where Meng Yao's gaze has caught. Maybe you should take it out, he says, and Meng Yao digs his fingers into the palm of his hands and promises himself then and there that he will, at some future, more convenient point, allow himself the luxury of taking this beautiful, tormenting man apart piece by piece. He takes a steadying breath and accepts the laptop back, just as his phone vibrates on the desk. Zhiyang, it seems, is hacking into the security feeds again. Yo, I get your boyfriend is going for those handsome Squidward wives, but did he really have to drown himself for the aesthetique? Respect, though, I mean. That's commitment. The laptop turns on without trouble. The lock screen in its pure and unscrambled form turns out to be an ink painting of a pair of horses mid-gallop, manes and tails streaming in the wind, brush strokes simultaneously controlled and free. It feels somehow deeply Lansetian in a way that catches oddly in Meng Yao's chest. The keyboard, on the other hand, is entirely unresponsive. We'll have to replace it, I'm afraid. I figured, Lansetian says, seeming remarkably unbothered for a man whose laptop has required 2 major repairs in the space of a month. Get his password. I want to know what kind of freak he is. But he's a food guy. What did you say happened again? You spilled tea? That's right, says Lansetian very definitely. Jasmine tea. He doesn't seem like he's lying exactly. I don't think the kind of tea makes a difference, unless, was there any sugar? Lansetian looks mildly outraged. In green tea? Meng Yao returns a sympathetic smile. I had to ask. Or, if there's a thing where, like, you can only get it up if there are puppets. Never mind about the password, I'll brute force it. Still raining? Meng Yao asks as he finishes checking the laptop in. Lansetian cranes his neck over towards the doors. He really is extraordinarily tall and pulls the wry face. Looks like it. Meng Yao nods. I have something for you, he says. If you don't mind waiting a moment, but, he adds, glancing from Lansetian still dripping clothes to the nearby Apple display. Maybe wait by the doors? Within 2 minutes he's back, pressing an umbrella into Lansetian's hands. From the lost and found, he explains. It's been there for months, no need to worry anyone's missing it. Lansetian's face has gone slack and soft. Oh, that's... you really are so thoughtful. Meng Yao lowers his eyes modestly. It's nothing. It isn't. Lansetian's voice is insistent, almost sharp with it. Meng Yao realizes this is the closest they've ever stood. A mere 2 feet of empty air between them. It would be so easy to reach out and... Well then, it's my pleasure. From where he stands, he's in a perfect position to watch the working of Lansetian's throat as he swallows. Thank you, Lansetian says, and then... Meng Yao? And although of the two of them, Meng Yao isn't the one drenched to the skin, he's the one who shivers. See you in a week, he says. In a week. Lansetian echoes, and it sounds like a promise. Back at his desk, Meng Yao finds that Zhiyang has sent him about 17 vomit emojis with the following addendums. BTW, Patrice says if you don't want him, she'll take him, so watch your back, stud. But even Juryang can't put a damper on his good mood. Meng Yao puts a 24-hour block on Juryang's number and continues about his day, humming under his breath. 5. Your boyfriend was in yesterday, is the first thing Juryang says when Meng Yao walks into work. Meng Yao, halfway through the act of hanging up his coat, freezes. He is not going to ask Juryang of all people if Lan Xishan asked about him. He won't give him the satisfaction. He asked about you. Seemed pretty disappointed you weren't in. Oh, Meng Yao says neutrally. He finishes hanging up his coat and shuts his locker. Apparently he's having laptop troubles again. Crazy how that keeps happening, right? Told him we'd have it fixed by Thursday, he should come back then. Meng Yao goes still again. Oh, but that's right, Juryang continues. You're not working Thursday, are you? Fuck, that's a shame, he shakes his head. Budding romance thwarted by circumstances, some real Romeo and Juliet shit right there, you hate to see it. Then a theatrical pause, as if an idea is just occurring to him. Unless, of course, you could find someone willing to switch with you. Meng Yao settles his shoulders against the lockers and folds his arms. What do you want? Juryang grins and rolls his neck, looking Meng Yao up and down contemplatively. Blow job, he says, testing the waters. Try again, Meng Yao says flatly. Oh, right, you're like in love or whatever. Huh, okay. How about a video of him giving you a blowjob then? None of that grainy shit, though. I'm talking the full HD Pornhub Premium kind of experience. Obviously also no. Juryang heaves a sigh. Look, I'm trying to negotiate here, but you gotta work with me. He taps his teeth contemplatively. Cupcakes. Every day. For 6 months. I will buy you one bag of Werther's Originals, Meng Yao counters. It is entirely up to you how long that lasts. Juryang appears to think about this for a moment, then he shrugs. Fuck it, sure, but, he adds before Meng Yao hardly has a chance to wander at this far to easy victory. I want the hat. It's as if someone has just turned the air conditioning all the way up to full blast, the way the sudden chill slices down to Meng Yao's bones. Absolutely not. Juryang leans forward and says with unholy relish, non-negotiable. He gives Meng Yao a disgustingly cheerful smile. Think about it. Over my dead body. I mean, that could be arranged. Actually, Meng Yao thinks, watching Juryang saunter out of the room, it probably can. On Wednesday night, Juryang comes down with a horrible case of food poisoning. Meng Yao knows this because he receives a message from Trevor on the Carptown Nerdforce group chat about it. Hey guys, I know it's short notice, but I just heard from one of Juryang's boyfriends. Apparently he's sick and can't come in tomorrow. Anyone available to cover his shift? What can Meng Yao do as a dedicated employee and caring co-worker but volunteer? His willingness to step up and support the team in its time of need will later be specifically cited in his write-up for Employee of the Month. Everything should be working again, Meng Yao informs Lan Xishan cheerfully, handing over his newly repaired laptop. Apparently some animal hair got into the fan and caused everything to overheat. Lan Xishan nods. That explains it. My brother keeps rabbits. You know how it can be with pets. The fur gets everywhere. It's interesting, though, Meng Yao says, peeping guilelessly up at him. Because according to the technician's notes, it looked like the fur was actually physically stuffed into the air vents. Lan Xishan's face is still and placid as a pond in midwinter. How odd. Isn't it? Meng Yao dimples. Must be your brother's boyfriend again. You should really keep your laptop somewhere he can't access it. Yes, Lan Xishan agrees. I'll be sure to. 6. It was an accident. For perhaps the first time since Meng Yao met him, Lan Xishan sounds genuinely distressed. Meng Yao smiles too endeared to ask any pointed questions about why Lan Xishan feels necessary to clarify that this time in particular is an accident. "Jasmine tea again?" he asks sympathetically. Lan Xishan slights him a wry look. "Oolong, actually, but I really didn't." He cuts himself short, plainly realizing he's straying towards dangerous territory. Meng Yao likes him so much it's sickening. "I did everything you told me to do last time. I turned it off, disconnected it from the power source, left it open to dry for 48 hours. No good?" Lan Xishan pauses, frowns. "I didn't check. I just brought it straight here to you." "Well, let's find out, shall we?" His phone buzzes. He ignores it. The computer starts up without difficulty. Meng Yao looks fondly down at the lock screen, feeling obscurely like he's greeting an old friend. "I do like this painting," he says, passing the computer back across the desk so Lan Xishan can input his password. Lan Xishan doesn't move. His voice is oddly strangled. "Are you, interested in art?" It would be so easy to lie. Meng Yao has always been good at spinning something out of nearly nothing, and yet... That's the thing about Lan Xishan. He always seems to come with a disclaimer attached. All of Meng Yao's preconceived judgments, all of his intentions and best-laid plans, and yet, and yet, and yet. "I don't know much about it, but I noticed that painting when you brought your computer in before, so I looked it up. Zhu Weihong, right?" He glances up for confirmation and is startled to see something akin to desperation in Lan Xishan's eyes. His lips are parted, his hands gripping the edge of the desk, white-knuckled. It is, Meng Yao can't help but think, a very good look on him. Certainly one he wouldn't mind seeing again. And again, and possibly again after that. "You need to enter your password," he reminds Lan Xishan kindly. Disregarded, his phone buzzes again and then again. With apparent effort, Lan Xishan releases the desk and types in his password. Under Meng Yao's direction, he browses for a few minutes, checking that everything's working properly and no files are corrupted. "Well," Meng Yao announces, finally gently taking the laptop from his hands and closing the lid. "I think we're all done here. Congratulations." "Oh." Lan Xishan doesn't particularly sound like he sees an occasion for congratulations. "That's it?" "That's it. Looks like you solved it all on your own. You're an excellent student." "Thank you," Lan Xishan says with a distinct lack of enthusiasm. "That's very kind. There's nothing else that should be checked?"
"Not that I can see. You're good to go."
Lan Xishan stares down at his computer in something like betrayal. "Of course," Meng Yao adds. "If there are any other problems, you can always bring it back in." The look of betrayal takes on a savage cast. Lan Xishan's fingers flex on the edge of his laptop, as if he's considering picking the thing up and smashing it against the desk. And it's not a small part of Meng Yao that wants to see if he will, that wants to see just how far Lan Xishan will go, how far the limits of his desire stretch, how long he can substitute bolster one kind of restraint with the lack of another. But another larger part of him just wants, and is tired of wanting. "Actually," he begins, "I was wondering..." A strident voice from behind him cuts him off mid-question. "Now, what have we here?" Lan Xishan glances over Meng Yao's shoulder. Meng Yao too turns, although he already knows what he'll see. Zhe Yang strolling across the floor, malice gleaming in his eyes. "I'm helping a customer, as you can see. More for Lan Xishan's benefit than out of any hope that Zhe Yang will take the hint." As expected, Zhe Yang ignores him utterly, addressing Lan Xishan instead. "Hey, did you know that the most common form of employee theft is stealing time? Pretty interesting, right?" He grins toothily. "I was reading an article about it the other day." "Reading?" Meng Yao thinks furiously. "Who taught you to do that?" "People starting late, taking too long on their breaks," he leans in. "Taking care of personal business on company time." the way he says personal business invested with the force of an obscenity. He takes a dramatic breath, obviously preparing to launch into some further horror. To hell with this, and to hell more importantly with Zhe Yang. "I'm going for a cigarette," Meng Yao announces. Zhe Yang turns to him, eyes narrowing. "You don't smoke." Meng Yao returns his most poisonously sweet smile. "Says who?" he asks and plucks a pack of menthols from Zhe Yang's pocket. "Motherfucker, those cost money, you know." "Come on," Meng Yao says to Lan Xishan. "I'll walk you out." Lan Xishan hastily shoves his laptop back into his bag. "I didn't know you smoked," he says, trailing Meng Yao out the automatic doors. "Oh, I don't. This way." He leads Lan Xishan into an alleyway behind the ECPC and the Y-Mart. Lan Xishan follows gamely enough, though he glances around a little quizzically, still clutching his laptop back to his chest. "No security cameras back here," Meng Yao explains and rounds on him. Lan Xishan stares at the delicious blush spreading inwards from his ears again. "Oh," he says. "Oh," Meng Yao agrees and backs him against the wall. Lan Xishan stares down at him, looking dazed. Already his breathing has quickened and Meng Yao hasn't even kissed him yet. Meng Yao wants... He wants everything, and he has a sneaking suspicion Lan Xishan will give it to him. "Oh," he prompts, letting a hint of mockery creep into his voice, and Lan Xishan shuts his eyes as pained. "Please." It's not a kind kiss. It's week upon weeks of fantasies and frustrated longing wrapped up in a promise that is the end of pretense. No more false faces. Lan Xishan loves it. He sighs into Meng Yao's mouth, hands ghosting across the surface of his body like he's not even trying to touch him yet, like he's just trying to learn the shape of Meng Yao in his arms. Meng Yao reaches up to run one hand through the thick, dark locks, then tightens his fist and tugs. He actually feels Lan Xishan slip an inch or so down the wall as his knees buckle. Very promising indeed. Meng Yao pulls back. "Well?" Lan Xishan opens his eyes to search Meng Yao's face. Then he says, "Oh, thank God," so fervently that Meng Yao has to kiss him again. "I wanted to," he says when Meng Yao has released him for the second time, "from the first time I saw you."
"Why didn't you?"
Lan Xishan looks vaguely scandalized.
"You were at work. It wouldn't have been appropriate."
Kissing Lan Xishan is, Meng Yao reflects, possibly just a little bit addictive. He'll have to be careful there. "I need to go back in a moment," he says. "But dinner? I'm free Saturday."
"Please," Lan Xishan says again.
Meng Yao thinks he could get used to hearing that particular word from this particular man in that particular tone of voice. "Let me give you my number," he says, pulling back to get out his cell phone. Too late, he feels something shift between them. He makes a grab, but his hands clutch at empty air as the laptop bag, which had been pinned between their chest, slips to the ground and lands with a sickening crunch. Stricken, his eyes meet Lan Xishan's. For a moment, there's only silence. Then, it's one of the last days of summer. Overhead, the sky is a brilliant, improbable blue and the sun shines warm and bright as, just as brightly, in an alleyway behind the ECPC, Lan Xishan begins to laugh. 6.5. Exit Loot. On the night of his and Lan Xishan's first date, Meng Yao comes down with a horrible case of food poisoning. It is, he reflects, resting his head momentarily on the toilet seat, largely his own fault. If he'd done his due diligence, he would have chosen a different restaurant than one where, say, Song Lan worked as a line cook. Point to Zhe Yang. Still, all things considered, there's a soft knock on the door.
"Can I come in?" Lan Xishan asks. "I brought water. Don't want you getting dehydrated."
The sound Meng Yao manages to croak out is close enough to thank you for government work. Lan Xishan stoops down, setting the water next to where Meng Yao is kneeling and reaching over to tuck a sweaty lock of hair behind his ear. "I found this really great hat on a dresser," he says. "Maybe sometime when you're feeling better you can model it for me?" "Yes, really, all things considered, it's hard to regret any of it." The end.